The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Spencer Hager and Cameron Utley. And today we're talking about the 401k or the Roth IRA. We can actually throw an IRA in there too. So making the right retirement savings choices. So give you an example. Sarah's in her 30s. She chose a Roth IRA for flexibility, as many people who just, you know, starting out. Michael in his 50s, nearing retirement. He prefers a 401k for its catch-up contributions, its employer match, and tax benefits. So my first question is, does age matter in the strategy of these two retirement tools?
Yeah, I think it does. I think cash flow is probably the more important component. You kind of touched on it there. The 401k, you get a much larger contribution limit. So if you're under 50 in 2024, it's, what, $23,000, right? And then if you're above 50, you get an extra $7,500, that's the catch-up you're talking about. So if you have the cash flow where you're someone who's maxing it out, the 401k is awesome. Because the Roth IRA, it's currently $7,000 per year. If you're above 50, you also get a catch-up, but it's only a grand. But if you're someone where you can't really afford to put more than $8,000 in per year, that's not really that much of a con. And then you, with 401k, you may or may not have a Roth option in there. Not a Roth IRA, but a Roth 401k. And so if you don't have that option, the Roth can look pretty good because that's a tax-free savings bucket.
So it's not based on age, but basically based on how much you have tucked away, how much income you're earning, how much you can contribute, what your living expenses are. Is that what you're kind of
saying? Like, what was it? Sarah is underage. Sarah. Said, yeah. So if you're Sarah and you only have $8,000 to put away and your 401k doesn't give a match, I'm sure we'll get into that, then it kind of comes down to just, do you have the Roth 401k option and what are the investment option differences? Because if you're not getting a match and you can't put more than, I said $7,000 because you don't get the catch up. There's really not a huge pro towards either side. It comes down to fees and investments.
What if you're a sole prop or an LLC?
Cameron hits that one. I'm monologue.
So you're just yourself running your business, and maybe you've got a Roth Roth IRA. Should you consider some sort of a employer retirement tool?
Well, I think it comes down to, one, what's important to you. If you're at the point where you're just starting out and it's better for you to just know that you're saving versus having some sort of tax benefit to saving, then just continue doing the Roth IRA could be valid. If you're at the point where you're trying to maximize the amount of savings you can do on an annual basis, then starting a company retirement plan, especially if you have multiple employees, could be a good option because most dollars you put in could have a tax benefit of being deductible.
So that's contingent on being flush with cash then?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Good. Good start. So contributions, limits, and rules. And I'm reading my outline, so bear with me. For those who are retirement age, what's the current catch-up contribution limits for 401k plans and IRAs?
$7,500 for 401k, $7,500. For a traditional or Roth IRA, it's $1,000. And then with the company-provided plans, if you do a simple IRA, it's different. Is it $5,000 now? It's $4,000 or $5,000 on that one. So that's kind of in the middle of that simple IRA I'm talking about. You can contribute more than you can towards a traditional or a Roth, but not as much of a 401k. The matches or the catch-up's the same deal. It's a couple grand more than $1,000, but it's not $7,500. I think it's $4,000 or $5,000.
Is it blatantly obvious that it should just be about the taxes in these situations, the tax savings?
I would say, you go ahead.
I mean, my opinion is I think it comes down to, you know, looking at, when you look at the high level view, are you, you know, without the catch up, are you doing enough towards, you know, retirement? Are you hitting those goals? If you're not, then that's why the catch up's in there in the first place. They unfortunately assume that you're not on track for getting enough saved for retirement. So they give those 50 and over a little bit of an extra bit of running room.
It's 50? Age 50?
Yeah. What were you asking about? What does what come down to? Just the tax implication?
The best scenario, I guess.
For the catch-up or which plan?
For either, Roth traditional 401k.
Yeah, pretty much.
It sounds to me like it's the tax benefits and then whether or not you flush with cash as to which tool you should use.
If it's not confusing enough, at this time there are discussions about those rules changing to where there would not be a pre-tax option for catch-up. So right now it is available but might not be available in the future.
Okay, so stay tuned, right?
Yeah.
All right. If an employer offers a 401k plan with a matching contribution, I want to explain to people who aren't familiar with a 401k plan, maybe some of our younger viewers who are just starting out, what does that look like? Let's explain the landscape of the 401k first. What is it? Where do you get it? What's it involve?
Yeah, so if you're just a W-2 employee, which just means, right, your company that employs you covers your payroll for you, they withhold your taxes, you probably get some benefits like the 401k. So with that, essentially the match, there's a couple different ways they can do it. There's no guaranteed match, so I guess that's first and foremost. How much they match is pretty discretionary, so it could be 1%, it could be 7%, it could be 100% if you have a really lovely employer. That sounds fantastic. But that's that. Usually it's going to be pre-tax. To Cameron's point, they can technically match it Roth now. So they could match your 401k contributions with Roth money. I haven't seen it yet, but technically an option. And then sometimes it's discretionary, non-discretionary, or elective or non-elective, which means you don't have to put anything into the plan and they'll still give you 3%, right?
Wow.
That's pretty nice. Again, don't see that as often, mm-hmm. but it's a thing. Usually it's going to be, hey, we match, 100% up to 4%. So if you put 4% of your paycheck in, your employer is going to cover the same deal. They're going to put 4% in. Usually every paycheck, sometimes it comes at a certain time of year, but that's essentially the breakdown.
So for the average 401k, just to be very deliberate here, your income, your after-tax income, or before tax income, does the 401k come out?
It's usually going to be pre-tax, right? Okay. So that comes, the gross numbers. Mm-hmm. So that comes back to, is it Roth or pre-tax? Mm-hmm. So it's usually always going to be based off your gross pay, mm-hmm. but it's just, do you get a tax break versus no tax break, but it grows tax-free? That's the Roth.
Okay. And Roth IRAs are pre-tax?
No, post-tax.
Awesome. Post-tax.
Tax-free.
I always get that confused. Yeah. No, what?
Roth. Roth has after-tax. You pay the taxes on the money today.
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah. My layman brain says that's pre-tax, so that's not what pre-tax means.
You gotta put
just
that,
think about me. Think
the,
of me as a potential client who's coming in and has no clue what's going on. Yeah, I don't know why. I always thought pre-tax meant that it took the tax out first, but that's not what that means. Okay.
Yeah, pre-tax is like traditional, whether it's 401k or IRA, Roth, whether it's an IRA or 401k is post-tax.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Investment options and flexibility. If somebody wants to control their retirement investments, and we have some people who like to do that, they like to be really mm-hmm. involved in their allocation. Let's explain, and I have to say this. We don't want to get
don't
too far.
I
want to say
it
for
it.
You, Spencer. We don't want to get too far in the weeds, but let's explain the range of investment options available within both a 401k and an IRA of any kind.
I like to think of...
Because I honestly did not know that... There were some similarities between them. I thought they were very, very different. The guts of them were very different. So let's break those each apart.
Yeah, I heard someone say at one point, and the imagery sticks with me, that if you think of an IRA and a 401k, the options for the investments to be a menu. An IRA might be like a menu at like a breakfast, lunch, and dinner restaurant, all day restaurant where you can basically order whatever you want at any time, versus your 401k might be more like a 5-star restaurant where you only have a set number of options, one appetizer, one side, one dessert kind of deal. So the similarities is that in a 401k, an IRA, you're likely going to have some stock options, some bond options, some cash options. And one difference would be is that as you may want to, I don't know if you wanted to weigh on that, there are in 401ks what are called target date funds, which essentially you choose, it'll say it in the name, pick a year, 2050, you know, that fund assumes that that's the year you'll retire. And so it will, when you invest in that fund, it'll slowly get more conservative as you get closer to 2050.
Interesting.
Yeah, the target date funds, I'd say if you don't want to do the research, that's the route to go, because to Cameron's point, every 3 to 5 years they become more conservative. It's nice. You don't really have to check in that often. And if you just don't do the research, you don't really know what's going on in the investing world, which is fine. That's probably a good move. To the point about the – go ahead.
I'm sorry if I can interrupt you. So yeah. at our company, we test people's risk tolerance. We have them take a survey, if you will, that allows us to look at the level in which they're willing to take risk, right?
Yeah.
So that sounds to be something that would not be done for a person who's flying solo and going rogue.
Yeah, are you talking about the target date funds?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not huge on. I mean, like I said, they're good for that reason. Why I don't really like them is, you know, you could be someone whose risk tolerance, you're in your mid-40s and you still feel like you can take 100% equity. If you started putting your money in that target date fund 20 years ago, it's become a lot more conservative over that time period. And there's someone behind the scenes of that target date fund who's making adjustments, and they don't reach out to you for an affirmative.
Like, and they're looking at your age they're doing that.
They are, but they're just saying, hey, this is a one size fits all.
That's
if you're in this fund,
yeah.
Everyone's getting moved and it doesn't matter. So you lose some autonomy. But yeah, the other piece like with the 401ks, it's going to be all mutual funds, meaning it's a basket of stocks, a basket of bonds in each one of those options. You're not going to have individual stocks, right? You're not going to have...
So you can't hand select,
no,
hand pick.
Which for most people is probably a good thing. But if with the IRA or something like that, you can really, to Cameron's point, I like the menu analogy, but yeah, you can buy individual stocks, you can do a lot, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
So you can really be a participant in your 401k at work if you wanted to be. You could go into your account and look at your allocation and...
Yeah,
pick certain tools, right?
You're just going to have a limited number of options.
Okay.
Like it's going to be anywhere from 8 to 30. But no matter what, you can't say, hey, I don't like this list of 30. Give me another 10. That's whoever set up the plan. That's their discretion. You don't really get a say.
Can you do that in IRAs as well?
Yeah, it's an individual retirement account. So that means, whatever platform you set it up on, you can do a lot with it.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something?
I was just going to say that, well, maybe I lost my thought, but
we can keep going.
It'll
okay,
come back.
I do it all the time.
That's how you know it was good. Yeah.
Welcome to my world. All right. Many people talk about early retirement. That's kind of a big conversation that we have with people interested in, especially since COVID, people wanting to, slow things down, maybe take a different kind of a path in retirement. And they're concerned about penalties and the way that looks, on the financial side. So what are some of the rules and penalties that are associated with withdrawing the funds from the 401k and IRA before they reach retirement age? First of all, let's tell people what the retirement age is.
Yeah, the magic number for all the accounts are 59 and a half, and there are some exceptions to that rule. So always think of 59 and a half, some exceptions. Mm-hmm. One main exception that we talk a lot about is with early retirement, if you do have a 401k, if you have a 401k with the company you retire from, you can actually access those funds from the 401k at 55. That's one exception. I don't know if you any others that any other. There's a whole list of them, and there are some differences between 401k and IRA. But I don't know if you know any other large ones.
Yeah, no. What I'll point out is with the Roth IRA, you get a little bit more flexibility. Like the 401k, to Cameron's point, is 55. Is that's the age where if you post 55, you can take it out penalty free. If you do it before then, it's a 10% penalty off the top. So if you were putting all your money into a 401k pre-tax, not only are you going to pay taxes when you take it out before 55, they're going to club you over the head with 10%, which is not fun. The Roth IRA and the traditional IRA technically are the same deal. It's 59, not same deal, but 59 and a half, right? So if you don't take it out before that age, 10% penalty. The nice part of the Roth is the principal of what you put in is never penalized. So for example, if you put in 40 grand into a Roth IRA, it grows to 70 grand. If you only take out 20 grand before your age 59 and a half, you're not penalized. But if you try and take out the full 70, you'll pay the 10% penalty on the 30 grand of growth. So from that, I always point that out. The goal is you don't touch it until you're you know, retired, and so it shouldn't be a big deal. But some people get really, really hung up on the penalty, and they feel like their money's locked away from them. If you're concerned about that, Roth 401k, you get penalized taking out early. Roth IRA, you get a little bit of flexibility.
And for people who want to take distributions from those accounts to pay off student loan debts or gift it to their kids for a house or a wedding or whatever, what do you suggest?
Oh, I can hit that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I usually like doing the Roth IRA is good because same deal. If you're kind of not sure how you're going to use it, because I deal with a lot of people who feel that way. It's like, maybe it's for a business. Maybe it's for a home down payment, or maybe it is just for retirement. I don't really know. If you can do the Roth, if your kids have earned income and you're trying to save along the way, the Roth's nice because, like I said just a few minutes ago, if you take it out early because you want to use it for something when they're young, be mindful of how it's invested, but you can probably do it penalty-free. I know some people whose parents did that for college savings, worked fine. But if they don't use it, let it ride. But the next option is probably going to be like a regular investment account. So it's just, you get no tax incentive whatsoever. You just, it's invested.
Got it. How are the RMD's required minimum distributions different between the 401k and Roth IRA? They're both annual?
Between a Roth IRA?
Between a 401k and a Roth.
Yeah, so with the Roth IRA, because the money was taxed before the money was put in, you actually don't have any required minimum distributions. So that's one of the kind of the big selling points of a Roth IRA is there are no, once you hit 59 and a half, there's obviously no penalties and then no required distributions from the account. Now, the only required distribution is if it's an inherited IRA or inherited Roth IRA, there are some rules around having to take the money out over 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And are they the same? Is there a maximum distribution amount that you can take from each of those accounts once you're 59 and a half?
Full amount, yeah. You could take the whole thing if you wanted to, yeah. I guess for anyone who doesn't know what RMD is, like right now, depending on your age, you have to start taking when you're 73. If you're not going to take an RMD for another decade, right, because you're not anywhere near 73, it's going to bump up to 75. So you don't really have to worry about that problem until you're...
That's on a 401k, right?
Any pre-tax account.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Portability and rollover. So you've changed jobs a few times in your career, and you've got multiple retirement accounts scattered. We see this often, especially the younger clients that have, you know, had a few careers along the way. How do you consolidate those to avoid penalties? Is there a great way to do that? So 401k to 401k, for instance, we'll take that example.
If you have a new 401k available, absolutely. That's a kind of an easy option right in front of you. You could get into the weeds and look at, you know, what do I do a company 401k? Do I put it in you can roll it over to an IRA. The consideration for that just come down to what are the investment options? What are your goals? What are the expenses for putting it in the new 401k? Because remember, the IRA, you can put the funds whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So does
time matter? I mean, is there an advantage to doing that early versus when you're in your 40s, 50s, changing jobs, and you've got two 401ks you're trying to figure out what to do with?
Do it before it gets away from you is all I'd say, because you said it's younger clients, it's everyone. I mean, so it gets away from you. I mean, the other thing, too, is, and it can become super confusing, if it's an old 401k that you only put in like $3,000 into, these days they can just move it out of the 401k without telling you. So it could end up, like Millennium Trust is one that everyone deals with, but they'll move it, and then you thought it was in the 401k, now it's in an IRA, you don't know how to get access to it. It just becomes like a huge problem. You can definitely do it from 401k to 401k or an IRA. Same deal. If you're someone who's really getting into the weeds and trying to take hold of how you're saving, right, fees play a role, investment options again, because if you're someone where you want to be hands-on with the investments, you want to make sure you're paying the lowest fees, you could have a new 401k where even though they're matching you on your contributions, has some high expense investments or high admin fees. So then maybe the IRA makes sense.
And then how do you learn that? How do you figure that out?
I research. I mean, you can look up the names of all those investment options in your 401k, and you can see the expense. You can pull up a plan document for your 401k. It's going to tell you, here's what the plan provider's charging you as an admin fee. So you can look up all that and see what you're paying.
Because they don't show that on the statement.
No, and I don't expect people to do it. So that's what I was saying. Again, not to sound like a shill, but that is something nice about working with an advisor, is they'll look at it for you. But yeah, Otherwise, you just kind of have to dig in yourself into the documents.
Do some research.
Yep.
Talking about estate planning and beneficiary considerations, what are the estate planning implications for these kind of accounts? We'll say 401k versus a Roth, especially regarding beneficiary designations and potential tax consequences.
So for both, I think the one important one I hear from attorneys all the time are, and I've never run into any instance when someone's actually done this, but when you're going to, let's just say, for instance, you have a trust, never put your 401k, your IRA, as being the owner of, or the trust as the owner of those accounts. I don't even think plan providers would allow you to, but the idea is that if you do that, then those accounts would be then taxed at trust account rates, which are much, much higher than personal rates. So you want to put those as beneficiaries, not as the owner, and you obviously do that how your attorney recommends.
And if it's not in a trust, do those accounts stay out of probate as long as they're beneficiaried over?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. The more simplistic view is just make sure you put the beneficiaries on there. I think some people think that, for example, if you're married, like if there's not a beneficiary listed, it's, well, that's my spouse, so if they die, that's my account. Yeah, it is.
Eventually.
But you can't just reach out and say, I'm the widow, give me the money. They're going to say, well, no beneficiary listed, so pump your brakes on that one. So that's the main
thing. What happens in that scenario?
Again, I mean, I don't want to sound like an attorney, but usually they're going to make you come to them with a death certificate. They're going to make you come to them with, you know, letters of authority from the probate courts, and, you know, designating that you have authority to take custody of that account. So if you have a beneficiary, it's usually just give them the death certificate. They see that you're the beneficiary, prove your identity, and you'll take access to the funds. Which is the last thing I was going to say, if it's spouse-to-spouse beneficiary, that pretty much just becomes your account, right? So you're listed, that's your account. You don't have to take it out over any specified time frame until RMDs kick in. If you're a son, a nephew, daughter, whatever it is, you're not the spouse. That's when, what Cameron kind of said earlier, you may have to take it out over 10 years. That's still a little bit ambiguous as far as how that operates, but then there could be some more restrictions in place.
And I've told this story 1,000 times, so bear with me, because I think I've told it at least on 3 different podcasts, but I'll say it again because I think it could help somebody. Some of these retirement tools have things buried in them. A pension might have an annuity, for instance. I experienced that with a loved one where we had the beneficiaries changed over on the actual pension account, and then upon passing, everything was moving forward out of probate. I learned that there was an annuity buried in the pension that the company had not taken the initiative when we sent the beneficiary paperwork over and the power of attorney and all that good stuff. They didn't change that. And so it ended up throwing everything into probate for 2 years and thousands of dollars in attorney's fees. So when you're changing your beneficiaries, make sure you're asking the questions, is this the only account attached to this? Especially if you're not the owner of the account, you're the spouse or the offspring or family member.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, so we're not CPAs, just like we're not attorneys, but these are the kinds of things that we deal with every day with our clients. These guys like it when I say that, so I like to say it. There are tax benefits and implications that we've kind of talked about in the conversation, but if somebody's unsure whether they should contribute to a traditional or a Roth, can you explain the tax implications of each one and how that could affect their tax situation and future withdrawals?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful. I hate when we say it depends, but there is just a lot of nuance that goes into it. So, yeah, you put it in traditional, whether it's not. Let me
backtrack. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. I'll give you a scenario that might give people some visual context. You have a traditional and a Roth, right? You've got both.
Yeah.
And you've got different amounts, but you're focusing on the Roth, usually on the contribution side of things. Is there ever a time where you should become more attentive to the traditional, or should you just focus on the Roth?
That's crazy. I feel like I was going to say that, but then you jumped in.
Sorry.
No, I'm joking.
You know. Age brain.
Yeah, I'm joking with you. So, all right. So, yeah. So, traditional, again, just to drive it home, you put the money into a traditional 401k, you get a tax break, which is nice because you pay less in taxes today. If you're someone where you're in a lower tax bracket, it could be good, could be bad, but you could argue that you should do the Roth instead if you think your income is going to go up in the future, right? Pay the taxes now, let it grow tax-free, because in a couple years from now, you expect your income is going to go up and you're going to want that tax deduction more. that's probably, I mean, the main piece. So there's a lot of talking heads out there. Like I see a million LinkedIn videos talking about this. Drives me crazy. But if you're someone where you're in the top tax bracket, you probably need everything you can in the pre-tax deduction range. If you really want to save Roth because you love the idea that it's tax-free, good for you. I would argue that if you're someone who's paying 37% in federal taxes today, and in 20 years we think you're going to pay 25, you'd probably be better off taking the pre-tax today. The other piece too, and we didn't really talk about this, if you're someone where you just, kind of bury your head in the sand, but you're doing the right thing, you save 20% or 10% every year just pre-tax for 35 years and you never think about it, taking it back to those RMDs, like you could handcuff yourself in the future where you're set for retirement, but you're always going to get faced with a big tax bill every time you need to take a distribution. So you really have to, what's your tax rate today? Do you expect it to go up? And then also, do you have any, pre-tax or post-tax savings already banked up? And what's the spread there?
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. So you're younger, you're in your 30s, and you've got a 401k and a Roth and a traditional. So your company is matching your 401k, you're contributing a little bit to your Roth. Should you deliberately focus more on the Roth, given the fact that your income is a little bit lower at this time in your life, or should you focus on the 401k and maxing that out? Is there a magic template for that?
I know plenty of people in their 30s who are in the top two tax brackets, so it's really not an age thing. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're in your early 30s and you're 35% and you reach the second highest tax bracket on the federal side, if you think you're going to be parked there for the foreseeable future, the next 20, 30 years,
Take advantage of the match.
Yeah, and if you're a high income earner, hopefully that means you can do both, to your point. Like maybe you can max out the 401k pre-tax, and depending on, again, you need to talk this through with your advisors, but maybe you can do the Roth on top of it by getting a little bit creative. Maybe you can, but that's some of the nuance with it.
I think a lot of our top tax bracket earners are doing both in one flavor or another. Maybe you have some examples where it is all pre-tax, or they really do feel passionate about all Roth. But in my scenarios, it's usually a little bit of both, because we want to get the tax break today and save every penny we can. But there is, I think, what you're pointing to at the age, especially when you're in your late 20s, early 30s, you do have all the time, it feels like, in the world to let that Roth money grow to be tax-free in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Do you want to talk about pros and cons of some of these accounts?
I love nothing more. Yeah,
all right. Sure. Okay. Well, tax benefits and implications. I think we kind of covered that, but if you can just shoot off some pros and cons between the 401k, the Roth IRA. So let's go with the pros first. Tax implications and benefits of the 401k. Let's add the traditional in there too. So the three different accounts. Tax benefits and implications. Pros.
I don't really feel like there's much of a benefit on the, it depends on what you have, right? If you have a 401k that's only pre-tax, then the benefit and pro in the Roth IRA column is you can put it in and it grows tax-free. If you have a Roth 401k portion, there's not really a tax benefit. That ties back to when can you get the money out if something came up. So that's my answer on the tax benefits and implications.
Cons?
It's
got to be the same thing.
Same thing?
Same comments, yeah.
Okay. Contribution limits and rules. Pros of the 401k and the IRAs.
For the 401k, you can contribute, let's call it $20,000 more almost than you can contribute to a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA for that fact. So that's a benefit, especially if you're looking to save the maximum possible. Your 401k would be a good bucket.
And that's because of the match.
Because of the high contribution limit.
Con, if you're the business owner that we kind of talked about in passing, it's probably more expensive to set up a 401k plan and maintain it versus the IRA.
Employer match contributions. This is a great segue. 401k versus IRAs. Pros.
IRA stands for Individual Retirement Account. There is no matching. So the pro is for sure in the 401k column there, if you get a match, but you may not.
Cons.
Con is the IRA does not get a match.
I'm making this really hard for you. Okay, investment options and flexibility. 401ks and IRAs. Pros.
401k, you typically have all the investment options, a wide variety of options, but the con, it's usually a set number. It's not the whole universe, but you usually have all there that you would need.
To some, yes. But yeah, some would say the pros of the IRA because you can go crazy. You can be like Peter Thiel, who's co-founder of PayPal, and he bought a ton of PayPal stock in his IRA and his Roth IRA, and it was like worth $5 billion. So Peter Thiel won with that one.
Okay. Withdrawal rules and penalties, 401k and Roth IRA and traditional pros.
Pro, you could take start with a 401k typically at 55 versus having to wait 4.5 more years. Con, Roth IRA, traditional IRA, you got to wait with few exceptions until you're 59.5.
Yeah. But the same program I said earlier, pro, the Roth IRA, you can touch the principal early.
Right. Portability and rollovers, 401ks and IRAs, pros.
I mean, they kind of function the same. You can move IRAs to other IRAs. You can move 401ks to IRAs. 401k might have some more options. You can move it from 401k to 401k, 401k to IRA, 401k to IRA back to a 401k potentially if you follow all the rules correctly. So there's maybe some more rollover options.
Lots of options.
Yeah. You probably, if you're someone who you're really heavy with your IRA, you probably will be transferring that less. If you're someone who's moving from employer to employer a lot, you're going to have to be consolidating plans a lot more often, is what is, but kind of a hassle.
All right. This is what we do every day. If you need some help with your financial plan, give us a call. We're happy to sit down with you for a complimentary consultation. That's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you come back. Take care.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.